This episode is sponsored by ByHeart. Parenting is a core part of housewives, and my new fave friend of is ByHeart. ByHeart is an infant nutrition company built from the ground up to deliver real innovation on behalf of babies and parents. ByHeart's mission is simple: make the best formula in the world while using the latest in breast milk science. ByHeart is the only U.S.-made infant formula with globally sourced ingredients to use organic, grass-fed, whole milk, not skim. And ByHeart formula is clinically proven for easier digestion, less spit-up, and softer poops versus a leading infant formula. Curious about ByHeart? Redeem your welcome offer at byheart.com/podcast with code AndysGirls for a limited time. Additional terms and conditions apply. There are so many fall rituals I'm so excited to get back into, like seeing which $50,000 ring Lisa Barlow is going to lose next. And of course, there's one ritual that deserves to be added back to your fall priorities in addition to Salt Lake: daily hydration and energy from Liquid IV. Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier and Energy delivers 100 milligrams of natural caffeine plus 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, so you can accomplish all the things you want and need to do, minus getting Monica back to the cast. I focus every day on making sure I have enough electrolytes. When I wake up and before I go to sleep at night, I am making sure that my electrolytes are on the up and up so that I can stay there too. And also at the end of the night, when I'm looking for a little SGKK, I add Liquid IV to seltzer and I have a little bit of a seltzer spritz. For me, faster hydration is not just about workouts. It's about ensuring that my quality of life is good. It's an all-in-one formula that provides mind and body energy plus hydration that leaves you feeling focused, alert, and ready to take on anything. Tear, pour, live more. One stick and 16 ounces of water hydrates better than water alone. Powered by Live Hydroscience, an optimized ratio of electrolytes, essential vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients that turn ordinary water into extraordinary hydration. That's 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink. With 8 essential vitamins and nutrients, it's always non-GMO, vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, and soy-free. Start a new fall ritual with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code Andy at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code Andy at liquidiv.com. It's Andy's Girls. It's episode 567-ish. I really, truly never know. I genuinely, truly never know. And so excited to be back. So listen, Jersey happened. I don't even think I've recapped the newest Orange County. And so something happened. I don't actually know how to talk around this, except I do. It's just a wild, weird coincidence. So I'm just going to start this off by saying thank you to everyone who sent so much love, commented so much love about the Shannon episode, and also Kristen Takeman's two-part true slice of heaven delight. There is nothing I love more in this world than speaking to someone who has personal firsthand experience, not just in the world of TV, reality TV, but Bravo TV, who is also herself a Bravoholic. So I was so thrilled for the response for both of those episodes. And during the Kristen episode,
We started off the episode by me talking about this thing that happened. I don't know if it was the last time she was on the pod. She was on several years ago. But during this specific incident, in 2018, she came on, and I remember the year that it happened. I remember the month that she came on, because unfortunately, the day after she guested, on the episode, I went to get a passport photo taken. The thingy, the like steel, whatever the hell fell on my head. And then I had to go to the post office, which is why my passport photo has me with like tears underneath my eyes and thinking that's sort of an LOL story. And then unfortunately, the next day, I think I'm going to be editing the episode that I had just recorded with Kristen. And I had a text message and a phone call that unfortunately a family member was in a very serious car accident, and I had to go immediately to Rhode Island. So I'm telling Kristen this because the timing of it was strange. The fact that I had told her the day of the recording, oh my God, this thing fell on my head. And then she, I think, had followed up the next day and been like, how are you feeling? And I was like, well, I'm now fine. But there's another head injury. And I had to edit our episode in an empty trauma ICU at a hospital in Rhode Island. So I record this episode with Kristen. This year, the year of our Lord and Savior, Sutton Strack, 2024. And so the next day, I think I'm going to be editing this episode that I just recorded with Kristen Takeman in July of 2024. And unfortunately, I receive a phone call that a family member has been taken to the hospital in Rhode Island for serious reasons. And I think to myself, where am I right now? And so I'm troubleshooting, essentially ran to Amtrak to take an emergency train home. And, you know, the person is doing a lot better and we're working through some stuff. So it just was one of those things that I started to realize on the train that in both situations, the next day, and I had brought my stuff with me because I wasn't sure how long I was going to be in Rhode Island. I brought my, my computer, my recording equipment. I, of course, edited the Kristen episode while I was in Rhode Island this past weekend. I unfortunately wasn't able to make it to Jill Zarian's luxury lunch, which we were also talking about, which I was so excited to do because I've covered it a few times, one time as a TV correspondent thing, and then another time as a Daily Beast writer. And then I might have done it another time. I might have done it something for the podcast too. I really genuinely forget. But of course, for reasons that were certainly understandable, I had to send in my regrets to Jill and her team to say, I'm so sorry. I was excited to come and cover, but there's a situation I have to deal with. And I really can't put into words how fucking weird it is that in both situations, I record these like really fun episodes with the same guest. And then the very next day, so I'm like literally joking in my head and being like, listen, Kristen is like one of my true favorite people. I would love to have her back on the pod as soon as possible, but I'm also running out of loved ones. Like, hopefully survive, you know, this like weird, what's that fucking Final Destination comes to Andy's Girls kind of situation. Oh, now I have to knock on the desk. It just truly was a very strange coincidence. And thankfully, again, we're dealing with some stuff much, much, much better situation than it was earlier on in the day. But it just was so weird. So I did want to thank Kristen again for that great episode. Thanks, Shan. Thank all of you for your kind thoughts. And also, what is that? Is it just me? That's like, you have to have a sense of humor in life. You know what I'm saying? It's an excellent coping mechanism. It can also be a great way to just honestly figure your path through some difficult journeys. It just, the coincidence of it is so strange. Like, I was in front of my computer in Rhode Island editing the episode. Fortunately, did not have to do it in a hospital, but was editing this episode being like, do I even mention this? Like, is it just something that I say with like more than an ounce of dry humor with friends of like, how is this happening again? It's just so weird. So anyway, I did just want to share that story with you because I was, catching up on Love Island, which I have watched in full minus the After Suns, which I know I need to see. I've heard from many of you, the After Suns from Casa Amor forward, but as promised, I've watched all, minus the After Suns, all of Love Island US this season, which will be deep diving on an upcoming Taking It Personally. But it was just so interesting. So I'm, you know, recapping and deep diving that on Instagram stories as I'm watching. And I also did note that, like, guys, something weird happened. I'm not going to give the details, but I will probably not mention it all, but mention just a wee little bit on an upcoming AG. So this was, as promised, just a very strange coincidence. Just one of those things. Life, am I right? But listen, so I didn't get a chance to deep dive the newest Orange County. And so I just watched it again. Although I actually think I maybe watched it 1.5 times the first time. So I've actually watched the newest Orange County. This is surprising to know, AGs. Honestly, you assume I started a minimum of 10, and that assumption would be right. So I watched OC, technically 2.5 times the newest episode. And I also watched the new episode of New Jersey. And yes, I will do maybe a cursory plus examination of what we just saw in Franklin Lakes. I think some people were maybe delighted by the episode. I was not necessarily one of those people. There was definitely some value from some of what was covered, but then other just general conversations around storyline narrative morality has me a little befuddled. But I do want to talk a little bit about Orange County because I just really feel like this is the season we deserve. It brings me so much joy to watch those episodes. I think it's the color. It's the literal saturation of the color and how they shoot Orange County and also all that goddamn sun. It's like the little twinkle in its eye, little editing moments. So these little vignettes when they're going from one season to the next and they almost do like a scenic kind of color blocking of just like pulling the picture together before you get into the scene. There's a vibrancy about Orange County, which if you told a non-Bravo viewer, this season of Orange County is so good, and then you start to list what is currently happening on screen, you would sound potentially like a sociopath because there are these very dark, life-altering situations happening, and yet the show itself feels vibrant. And it also feels like a lot of different opinions representing the cast, but also representing the audience are being represented. It really genuinely feels like the United Nations of Bravo is happening. And I mean that in a good way, in terms of just seeing so many different opinions being threaded through the storyline in a way that to me really, really works. I feel like my focus in watching was like, oh, we're leading up to that final scene. Oh, we're leading up to that final scene. Because the scene with Gina and Jen is so fucking good. I mean, there's a lot that happened on the episode that I find fascinating from the perspective of a Bravo viewer, you know, looking at the shows through the lens of psychology and just trying to understand and gravitate toward certain behaviors. There's so much happening right now with Shannon, obviously. There's so much happening right now with, I mean, everybody else in that goddamn show, with Tamara, potentially. There's a lot happening with how Shannon feels that other members of the cast essentially filming with Alexis is a show of disloyalty to their friendship and maybe allyship with Shan. I find all of that fascinating.
But the Gina Jen of it all, to me, is just one of those things for the books, because I honestly get both of their perspectives. Now, if there was a spectrum and like you had Gina on one side and Jen on the total other end of the spectrum, where do I currently lean? I have to be super honest. I lean more Gina's way. Just in terms of understanding her upset, I genuinely get it. But I also feel like there's a piece here that's missing, which is that when they come into that scene, and that coffee shop, P.S., looks straight out of Big Little Lies. I was like, are we in Montecito or Coto de Casa? Because there was just something about it, the energy, the size of the cappuccino latte, and the look of the croissant, where I'm like, someone from food services made that look perfect for camera. Like, there was just something about it where I'm like, where is Nicole Kidman in all of this? And honestly, frankly, if the season of Orange County was ever given the HBO Max treatment, also known as HBO, Max does not live here anymore, who would Nicole Kidman play? I mean, I would love to see Nicole as Jen and Reese as Gina. Maybe we've technically seen it by watching Big Little Lies, which, sidebar, is coming back. They both have mentioned that that might be happening, which I know they say every sort of 6 months. I mean, it's a part of the lunar calendar that at some point Nicole and Reese both mention it could come back. It's happening. But I think actually it very well might be at this point. But there is something about both of their frustration at each other, specifically in that Montecito, but also Orange County coffee shop scene, that isn't being discussed, that I personally think is really interesting, which is, at the end of the day, some of the reason of why they're upset at each other obviously is because they feel like they're being disrespected. And I think that disrespect is like specific to, you're doing this shit with me, and as a person, I don't like it. And also, you're doing this shit with me on camera and I don't like it. I actually think it's sort of more the former than the latter. But them being on the show is at the core for some of their frustration toward each other, because Gina's saying, how do you not pay your bills and show up in glam? And Jen is saying, how do you tell Emily? How does Emily know about my possible financial situation? And the answer to both is the show. I mean, I actually don't know Jen well. So is it possible she would be paying for hair and glam to like meet up with a friend at a coffee shop had she not been filming? I guess technically anything is possible. But my guess is, with everything she's dealing with right now, I don't think she would be spending the time, let alone the money, to get glam done if she wasn't filming Housewives. And with Gina, now Gina and Emily are genuinely good friends. But of course, Emily and Jen wouldn't know each other if not for the show. But honestly, even putting that aside as well, Gina and Emily are going to talk about things that are going on. And if you also have conflict between two cast members, obviously that's going to be discussed on camera when they're shooting this fucking series that they're both in. So at the end of the day, there is the mechanism of the show at the heart of some of the examples that they're sharing, which doesn't take away from genuine upset that they feel. Now, I thought Jen handled the sit down poorly, but I understand, like, I can see that she's, I think, being honest in not getting the scope. Like, I think she's genuinely being on. I don't think she's withholding an apology. I just don't think she's forward thinking in that way. And that might be because she's too close and connected to the situation that she's in. She's in like emotional and financial triage. She's not able to see that I asked a friend to do me a solid. They did me a favor, including not needing a credit check, because Gina was just saying, you know, I'm essentially lending my reputation to this person. That's what happens with favors when you're asking your friend who's beginning a career in real estate to help you find a house really fucking quick. A part of doing that process really, really quickly is potentially skipping a couple steps. She did also say that her dad co-signed
the lease or lease agreement or whatever it was with her. So there was someone who was also involved whose credit was being, you know, put on the line here. He doesn't seem as upset about it, but I think also their relationship is obviously very different. It's father-daughter. He's been through a lot. Just watching what she has experienced and trying to support her in whatever possible way her parents can, as she said while crying in Ryan's house, that, you know, thank you so much. I'm so sorry that you've had to like do all of this and I feel bad. Obviously, this man has been involved in financial support, helping her pay her lawyer's bills, her rent, whatever else. So that's not necessarily news in their relationship, although it is a cause for concern because it's, to me, incredibly not sustainable. And, you know, Jen saying, I'm 46 or 47, I shouldn't be doing this at this point in time. And I'm thinking like, okay, babe, but like, what's our plan 5 years from now? What's our plan 10 years from now? This is not a sustainable relationship that you have with your parent. You need to figure out a way to hopefully create your own income. I don't want to see a situation for Jen, which it looks like we're kind of in right now, where she keeps finding herself in relationships where she is not contributing financially to her own independence and stability. Like if Ryan's like, don't worry about the mortgage, don't worry about the groceries or whatever situation, relationship, you know, construction they have of their ins and outs of who's paying the bills, like even if he says I've got it, I would hope that the money Jen's making from Housewives and whatever other stream of income she has is being socked away. Like my hope for her is that she's able to work toward financial independence or at least less dependence on people around her.
You know whose skin I envy? My dear best friend, J-Lo's. I have been a J-Lo superfan since day one. Every docuseries, every movie, I am all in. And I have had the pleasure of meeting Jennifer Lopez. And let me tell you what, she is aglow. And now I'm thinking about the wedding planner. So, Chris Manzo, we have a movie we need to rent. And yes, we need to talk about J-Lo's beauty regimen, the goddess of glow herself. She's just shared her secret 5 S's to ageless skin. Serum, sunscreen, supplements, sleep, and sano. In Spanish, vivir sano means live a healthy, sane life. It's the foundation of her new J-Lo beauty line. P.S. Did I pronounce Spanish better or worse than Vicky Gumbelson at Ondelez? Get that J-Lo glow for yourself with J-Lo Beauty's deluxe kit, the one-and-done skincare solution clinically proven to tighten and lift for instant, long-lasting results. It gives your skin a smoother, visibly brighter look, improves the appearance of fine lines and wrinkles, and protects against UVAs and UVBs. My personal favorite is that blockbuster hydrating cream. I am obsessed with a cream that does not make my skin feel oily, which is why I'm obsessed with J-Lo's. I get that kind of dewy glow. So if you're tired of trying to crack your own skincare code, try J-Lo Beauty for 60 days. If you're not completely satisfied, just return the bottles, even if empty, and get your money back. Want that J-Lo glow? Head to jlobeauty.com/andyscrolls and get a special gift of 4 free masks for AGs. Head to jlobeauty.com/andyscrolls for 4 free masks and free shipping today. jlobeauty.com/andyscrolls. There are so many moments that make up a year. The big moments and milestones, birthdays, anniversaries, when Shan came to the clawfist. And then there are the small moments, the slow morning spent making a decadent breakfast, running to a grocery store to get 9 lemons to put in a bowl. All of these moments come together to create our year, and in the end, create our life. Artifact Uprising wants to help you preserve your meaningful moments this holiday season. Whether you want to say, I love you with the perfect gift, display favorite memories in your home, or connect with loved ones throughout the year, BCC Shan, they have a product you can personalize. Artifact Uprising is a Colorado-based company that creates premium quality, customizable photo goods for your digital photos.
I just ordered a few photo books with Artifact Uprising, a hardcover travel photo book in this gorge shade of Pacific blue, which is perfect for the credenza in my living room, devoted to my first ever trip to Paris, and a photo book in midnight blue, one for myself and for my family. Moments from my childhood, my parents spending time together, it is going to be the perfect gift for Tobes and Chard. This is something incredibly special that will keep us connected. Artifact Uprising makes it easy to tell your story. Through the end of the year, AGs can give Artifact Uprising a try and get 20% off for new customers or 15% off if you've purchased before. Just visit artifactuprising.com and use code ANDYSGIRLS through December 31. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. I have some definite self-care non-negotiables. Number one, when temps go down, I need to have a daily stroll. Sometimes those walks are longer than on other days, but what's most important for me is getting outside. It's easy to let priorities slip, and that's where self-care comes in. And when you feel like you have no time for yourself, non-negotiables like therapy are more important than ever. I have been going to therapy since 2018, and there has been such a huge shift in my life ever since. It's the single best decision that I made for myself. It's helpful for me personally with positive coping skills, how to set boundaries with loved ones. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Never skip therapy day with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/andyscrolls today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/andyscrolls. So all of that being said, there is something to me slightly frustrating about watching Jen walk into that scene and not immediately apologizing. Like she's just because she doesn't get it doesn't mean she's right. And to not walk into that scene and immediately sit down and say, I'm sorry for what happened. I'm sorry for the position I put you in. I don't think you need to be a math major to understand that Gina did something good for you as a favor and you fucked it. Now, I get this happened because Jen's husband wasn't paying the bills. I understand that. She signed this lease, but obviously there was an agreement between her and her ex, but that's not on Gina. At the end of the day, she was responsible for paying the rent. And for someone who is crying and emotional about how dependent she is on her parents, there's also to me a little bit of a like, not purposeful manipulation, but she's still backing away from needing to be clued in on what is happening in her life, for her not to know that these emails are happening, that she's facing eviction, to not be confirming that bills are being paid. Like, I don't know, because I have paid my own rent for a very, very long time. If she wanted to, my guess is, I don't know how splits happen, but like, my guess is if she would have been a different personality type, could she have checked in every month with the landlord, whomever it is, and made sure that the rent was paid in full? She could do that. Maybe she just had so much trust in her husband, ex-husband, but at that point, a strange husband. But I'm also thinking, if this man isn't giving you, you know, copies of financial documentation to finalize your divorce and everything else, why do you assume that he's at the same time being financially responsible to you and your kids with paying the rent? Like, to not know that this is happening till too late is not the issue of her father, who is in fact financially responsible by signing onto the lease. It's not the fault, obviously, of Ryan. It's Jen's responsibility to be aware of these things. And to just say, I'm sorry that I'm still in this position, is not a good enough excuse. Like, I get if she does not feel that she has employment opportunities, but like,
what Tamara said, I think is accurate. And people have different personality types. And she was dealing, nobody's situation is perfect or identical, but like, you need to find a way to make income for your kids. Tamara did it in real estate. Gina did it in real estate. They're both finding their way. You could argue Jen is doing that in real time by being on the show, but I also don't know that she understands that, like, having decades of experience of being the person in your relationship who's not bringing in income and being dependent financially on your partner for that does not mean that dynamic needs to continue. And like, even when her parents are talking to her and saying, look, you figured it out. You know, you got out of that marriage. It wasn't good. And then you found Ryan. And I'm like, oh, fuck. And Jen, I think, corrects them or cuts them off about, you know, the importance here isn't that like Ryan stepped in financially, but also specifically to her situation, it is. Because that's how she was able to kind of figure things out, was depending on her partner offering or whatever to financially support her. And I'm not saying if someone is offering to do something that you say no, but I am saying if you've had 4 years of this cycle and now we're coming to the tail end of your ex really being responsible, communicative, whatever else, and now we're in a dynamic with Ryan, like that's 4 years. I know you jumped from your marriage into Ryan's arms. That's all fine and good. Maybe it's a forever love, but that doesn't remove your responsibility to your kids and yourself. And there are people in your cast who might be able to help guide you if you're interested. But the first step is actually, you know, mourning the situation, what's going on. She can express fear and frustration and sadness and guilt and shame, whatever else. She has every right. But also, how am I changing the cycle? Because like, to go from the situation with Will straight into the situation with Ryan, and now you're kind of between both worlds, but definitely in a situation with Ryan, and you're not paying your rent and you're being evicted. I mean, obviously, that's not Gina's fault. There needed to be a recognition that Gina helped her and she fucked up. And that might have, again, been Will's responsibility in some way, but I'm not seeing the light, like snap, snap, snap. I'm not seeing the light kind of click for her. And maybe also it was because she was super defensive because she felt like this person is talking a lot of shit about me and I'm not going to let them get away with that. But this isn't a normal situation of like you're at a dinner party, someone acts like an idiot and then you're talking shit about them. This also involves Gina's career. There didn't seem to be a real connection to that in a way that like I understood what Gina was saying. I really genuinely did. And also the glam is an issue because even if you're filming the show, why did you need glam and hair for that coffee shop? I can guarantee you that these women, including Gina, who I think has learned a lot in the last several years, know a lot more about like glam hair and makeup than I ever would. Like I wish I had that form of like know-how when it comes to like just looking fabulous when you're going to dinner with friends than they do. Like they know that much more. They have a much better skill set at that than I do. So it probably wouldn't be as great as if a makeup artist had done her makeup. But like, think optics, number one, you're coming in here to cry poor, okay, which is what she's doing. And you're coming in with hair and makeup. And then in your confessional, you're saying, just because my life is falling apart doesn't mean my hair has to look like yours did. Yours did. It kind of does. It kind of does. Because that's an easy thing for Gina to get upset about that to me, I completely understand. Like just because my life is falling apart, okay, if this was you're going through a different divorce or going through a breakup or you're dealing with like a friendship battle, whatever, that doesn't involve money and you owing, because she still owes money to the person whose house she was renting, if it was a person or a company, whatever. She still owes that money. She just also got evicted. Like that money is still due to this person. It just doesn't magically wash away. And also if you're crying to your dad saying, thank you so much for saving my life, which he has every right to say, and also is true, he has stepped in to help her when she has needed that help, I don't know how I would feel as a parent watching her go into this scene. Maybe her dad might be very supportive and be like, listen, I get it. And also she's filming a show, so it's a write-off. Like, I understand that this isn't just a usual kind of friendship fight, but I do think if it has anything to do with money and you owing money, that this is where it becomes a little difficult to parse. I really genuinely feel that way. And Jen's comeback of like, let me just make fun of how you used to look. Well, I guess you could do that. But that also, to me, brings me closer to like, look at how Gina has evolved since that point, not just on her glam, but on her own independence. We're seeing that happen with her and Travis and whatever is going on with their relationship at this point. She is removing herself from a dynamic that she thinks is toxic and is saying, I need more independence. I need more space myself and also for the kids. Like, she is working on herself in that way. And, you know, Jen's been split from Will for 4 years. I don't know that we can really say that. You know, she does have her yoga studio. She is working on that. That is something she's trying to make work. But I don't know. I don't know if that really gives her... It just, to me, felt a little especially snarky. Now, as a viewer, did I love that moment? Sure. But do I agree with Jen and what she's trying to say and like mocking Gina at that point? No, I thought it was a shitty thing to say. But also, did I love it? Absolutely, I did. And so Gina essentially throwing her, you know, page boy cap or whatever, shout out to Newsies, the Christian Bale as a youth, and then saying, you know, I'm out of here. She's not even listening to me. I understood it. I understood why she needed to walk off, because while she was coming in really strong and dick-ish in how she was maybe approaching the conversation with Jen, I think she was also taken aback that this person didn't start off the sit down by saying, like, my bad, I'm sorry. I don't know that you really should have to spell that out to someone. And I think if you're asking the person who did you a favor, who feels like that favor was really burned and her reputation was harmed as a result, and she's seeing someone that she feels is not taking that seriously, I don't know if you really wanna like spend the time to calmly explain to them how life works. And I actually think she did at one point. Maybe she was a little extra zesty in her tone, and then Jen wasn't listening to her. And at that point, Gina was like, I'm out. Like, I can't do this anymore. I think that is, I understand why this scene didn't continue. And also, I fucking loved it. In case I'm not making that clear, I absolutely loved it. It just is kind of difficult because there are other moments in the episode where, you know, Jen is talking about Ryan, what he's doing for work, the fact that he, quote unquote, does nothing now, used to work in mortgages and then real estate development and is living the dream life. I just think, what is the cost to that? Apparently, there was a cost with like some of this money that maybe wasn't his, that was paying for the dream or something. It to me feels like Jen maybe thinks that she's living this dream life with Ryan, but there's going to be a cost. Like, Jen doesn't have a great skill set in reading the fine print, but she also is responsible for not just herself and her kids. Like, when she's sitting them down and saying, okay, we have to leave. We're going to go to Ryan's. How do you feel about that? She even says, it's not like I gave them a plan B. Well, what do you expect these kids to say in response? Like, they're saying, we wish we had a little more stability. You're saying we're walking around, you know, just really cautiously because it's his house and we're acclimating. I think a part of that's probably normal when anyone is merging families, of just trying to figure this stuff out, especially if you're not moving into a new place together, but like one group is moving into another's. I think that there is probably a lot of sensitivity and delicacy on delicacy. You guys, words are so hard when you've had a brain episode. Sometimes I say words out loud and it might be the appropriate word, but I'm also like, did I just say kangaroo? That there's a certain amount of being delicate and sensitive when you're, you know, just kind of figuring out these situations. That's probably really normal. But I also think, fuck, man, knowing what we know now, knowing what we thought we knew about Ryan Jean Jacket, which is what this man said, you know, I've cheated on every single person I've ever been with, but you, you're the difference. And now also getting a sense of maybe where some of his income is maybe coming from. I just don't know if Jen is going to like wake up to some of this. Could it be a big misunderstanding? Well, no. I mean, he did say that he cheated on everybody he's been with, right? So that's not where the misunderstanding comes from. The like, did he commit a crime, or is that just, what was the whole thing from the trailer? Like, this is God's plan. I don't know if God was more of a baseball fan than like football or tennis, but my guess is he, she, they, holy, you know, savior probably wasn't thinking, go ahead and put stealing on the map of life. I don't know if that's something that we can kind of explain away versus this is a difficult circumstance. I will repent and we will get through this together. Like, are we getting any clues here that we need to be changing not only how we feel about finances, our responsibility for it, ways to accrue income, but also our reactions to stuff? When someone shows you who they are because it's in the national press, do you believe them? Should you? What are we kind of, what's our takeaway from this situation, and how are we adjusting our understanding of like life and stuff? I don't know. Jen to me is just such good casting. I can't say that enough. And also, I really like Jen. I want to make that clear. Like, I think she's genuine. I think she's kind. I think she can be absolutely considerate. I love the tenor of her voice. I love seeing her with her kids. I'm obsessed with Dominic. Like, there's so much about her that I think is genuine and lovable. And I love that she's on this show. I just think the stuff with the money and the eviction is tough. I don't think she, you know, maybe went about that coffee shop scene terribly well, which is another reason why she's probably great for the show. There's an awful lot that's happening here. And I also kind of wonder, this I guess is a question for people who work in real estate, but Jen's upset that Gina is telling people about Jen being evicted. You know, Gina saying, well, I knew from social media. People from social media outside of Gina are not going to know that Jen saying she's moving is happening because she's being evicted. That could happen for a number of reasons. So it's not like Jen put on an Instagram story, money, who's got it? You know, like, she's not really doing that. She is saying she's leaving in a rush, and not telling Gina isn't great. But when it comes to confidentiality, she wasn't a real client of Gina's, right? Like, did Gina get a percentage of the lease or whatever was signed? I don't get the sense that that's what happened. I also don't know if they signed any kind of agreement. So I don't think that she's owed confidentiality necessarily. I don't think that they had a formal relationship. And also, some of those informal relationships can cost you a lot. So it's like, ooh, that person's going to do me a favor. I'm going to skip some steps. Sometimes those steps should not be skipped. I don't know if Jen would still be in this situation had she gone through someone she didn't know. My guess is yes, because I don't know that at any point she was really like thinking to herself or really anticipated her husband just flat out not paying what was his responsibility to pay. But it's, to me, it's like the confidentiality of it. The confidentiality of it to me is like a little, ooh, there's like a gray area there, because I don't know that they had a formal, I don't know that they had a formal agreement. I guess a person could argue you don't need to have a formal agreement to, as a real estate agent, not share with other people what's going on with this client. But I, again, don't know that Gina owes that to her. And also, she's on a reality TV show, and this is a cast member who she did a favor for, who she feels like fucked her. So, more power to them. I could have watched, I want to see the secrets revealed just of the coffee shop scene. Obviously, judging by the fact that I just spent 3 years talking about the last 15 seconds, it was meaningful to me. I really appreciated it. I really genuinely did. And I appreciated Tamara's, even though Tamara, you know,
obviously wants to stick it to Jen however she can. I appreciated Tamara reminding us of what she did when she, after she and Simon broke up, of like she needed to figure things out and support herself. I was kind of into that. Also, this whole Alexis of it all is tough. I mean, the hashtagged promised versus it being a promise ring. This is one of those moments where I'm like, we're trying to argue this thing that doesn't make sense and you look dumb. Why are we trying to say this wasn't a promise ring? Unless Alexis really did use promised just as the word of the day. Like, it's too many letters for Wordle. So I don't know why she's backing away so much from calling this Van Cleef ring a promise ring. Is it because she understands that doing that 6 hours into a relationship is probably not great? Is it a question of optics versus understanding of like, wow, it might look a little wild that literally after our third date, we're like booking the venue and looking for the priest. I don't know. I would hope actually that Alexis is backing away from some of this, but I think she's like doing it ineffectively. Why not just say it's a promise ring? It's when you treat everybody else like they're an idiot or don't understand what you're clearly communicating on social media. That's when I get genuinely a little confused. But again, I can't say enough about, you know, Alexis being on the show, it just being really dynamic. I don't know that I'm going to agree with anything that she says or does this season, but it is fascinating layers of tension, because also you have these camps of like people who may agree with Alexis, meaning I guess Tamara, people who have relationships preceding her coming back on the show, like Heather and I think Emily, and people who are willing to film with her, essentially everyone but Shan, except Shan still went to Heather's party. So you could put Shannon in that bucket too, obviously begrudgingly. But to try to say to people on camera, off camera, you should not film with this person because you should have an allegiance to me. I get what she's saying, but I also think that's more of a production issue than a cast member issue when it comes to loyalty, because these people weren't responsible for casting Alexis. Now, Heather obviously for years said, bring Alexis back, bring Alexis back, bring Alexis back. But that was way, way, way before Alexis was ever seated near John Jansen at The Quiet Woman. So this person was in some way helpful for Alexis returning well before she and John ever started dating, because they were friendly with each other. Heather's even saying, you know, I speak to Alexis a lot more than I speak to Shannon. I don't think that's a mark against Shannon. I think that's just an example of the circumstances here. Like, Alexis and Heather's kids were in theater camp or doing like after school theater stuff for a while. She got used to seeing Alexis. It sounds like they seem, you know, they got friendly. Are they close friends? No, I'm not aware of that, if that is in any way accurate. But this relationship still exists. It precedes the John Jansen of it all. And also now she's on the show and they need to film. So this is always the thing that I find so fascinating of like, who are you going to be friends with? But also when I say that, what I mean is like, who are you going to film with? And if you film with her, the likelihood, I mean, it's at least possible that she might look good from that. So I don't want to feel like you're helping this person become maybe a full-fledged character, because I don't want them to win. Like, that to me is fascinating TV. And I think Shannon at the end of the day has to kind of figure out a way to navigate this. Like, maybe you make, you know, these, it's not really a threat, but maybe it's like extending the olive branch of like, don't you extend that bitch an olive branch. This olive branch is just between you and me. Remember how long we've gone back on the show. I think there is a little bit of a push and a pull of, you know, understanding that maybe some of this needs to happen because of the show, but still feeling disrespected by it.
Armoire makes getting dressed easy. With a clothing rental membership from Armoire, you can build your own perfect clothes with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. All you have to do is take a 5-minute style quiz and select items from your personalized closet. The styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days. Then when you're ready for new clothes, just swap them out for more new-to-you styles. I am so thankful to Armoire because I was in a genuine pickle last weekend. I was rushing to New Jersey, shout out NJ, the Garden State, not hunting for new housewives, but going to a friend's baby shower, and I had literally nothing to wear. So thank goodness for Armoire. I opened my bag from Armoire, grabbed this beautiful, bright lime green Sachin and Bobby midi dress, and it fit like a glove, and it saved me all of that extra stress. There are so many benefits to Armoire. You always have something new to wear without the hassle and closet clutter. It's sustainable. You no longer have to feel bad about only wearing an outfit once, and Armoire is women-founded and women-led. Right now, AGs can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/andysgirls. That is armoire.style, armoire.style/andysgirls to get up to 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today. I started taking Hormone Harmony because when it's that time of the month, I truly do not feel like myself. Starting about a week and a half before, I get the wildest cravings, bloating, exhaustion like no other, and now it's easier than ever to manage PMS and menopause because of Hormone Harmony. Hormone Harmony supports hormonal balance and regulation, which for me is a biggie. It relieves symptoms of menopause, supports cortisol, estrogen, and progesterone levels, and improves sleep quality. Alexis and John's engagement is keeping me up at night, so thank goodness for Hormone Harmony. Hormone Harmony is not just a supplement for women going through perimenopause, menopause, or postmenopause. It's become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. It has zero sugar and is gluten-free, dairy-free, non-GMO, and third-party tested. And the biggest benefit, feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their reviews. And there are over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code AndysGirls at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code AndysGirls for 15% off today. Much like Jennifer Aiden on her last appearance on Watch What Happens Live, and I do mean last, when it comes to summer, I need to keep hydrated, and that's why I love Fiji water. Jen's thirst might not ever be quenched, but with Fiji water, mine always is. Fiji water is Earth's finest water. Unlike the other two top premium bottled water brands, Fiji water's electrolytes are 100% naturally occurring. Fiji water has more than double the electrolytes as the other two top premium bottled water brands, giving it its signature soft, smooth taste. And that's why Fiji water is the number one premium imported bottled water brand in the U.S. And P.S., Fiji water has a perfectly balanced 7.7 pH. Get stocked up on Fiji water this summer and visit your local retailer to pick up some today. Alexis Bellino, imagine how much better her season could have gone if she had just simply quenched that thirst. And my recommendation? It's not just water, it's Fiji water. I mean, again, I can't say this enough, and I said this during my conversation with Shan, but it is to me a little wild that they got rid of Taylor. I mean, was it budget reasons? Come on, she would do that for a smile. She'd come back for kicks. You know, it's probably why she shouldn't, because you want someone to be paid what they deserve to be paid. I wouldn't want Taylor to be underpaid because she's willing to take that money. And we don't know that it was financial, but like,
Man, do I wish she was back? Not that Orange County is missing anything, but I just think Shannon is looking for like 20% of what Jen Aiden gives Teresa on Franklin Lakes, which is like maybe not a full soldier, but a toy soldier. Just give me a little mini Hasbro version, because I don't think I can get the full size thing of just someone who I feel like will have my back. And I do think Taylor would have done that. I also think Vicky would and or will do that. I don't know how much of the show Vicky's on. Certainly more than Teddy. And that's just honestly my hope at this point, but I do think it's true. You know, I'm sure Vicky will stand up for her, but I don't even know how much of like the Alexis of it all will come up in those moments when she's filming versus if either of those people, Taylor or Vicky, were back more frequently, then there would be a natural way to have them involved in dynamics in which, you know, Shan and Alexis are feuding. I just have to say, there was just so much. It really, truly, you know, was a really strong episode. And the Gina Shannon, I guess this like me just talking, monologuing into existence, a lot of it has been focused on Gina and now a little bit on Shan. And I really loved the scene that they had together after Shan ran into this, like, what was that? Like this huge, fancy indoor gym complex where one of the folks there was calling her like Shay or Shay Shay or something. I was very into that energy, truly. I giggled. I thought that was fun. It doesn't take much. But also the sit down that Gina has, I guess, on the field, right, with Shannon and Emily, when Shannon is apologizing to Gina. Gina says, you know, like, I appreciate it. I believe you that you're taking accountability. And sometimes, I think she said something specifically along the lines of like, sometimes it takes perspective to get people to change their own perspective. And sometimes, like, you know, you can feel natural empathy for someone, but you don't necessarily have an understanding of exactly what they've experienced as a result of, you know, a terrible, terrible mistake. And to see Gina and Shannon really see each other, to see Shannon real, it really kind of like click for Shannon of what Gina must have gone through and also gone through on camera when the DUI was constantly referenced well after she said, you know, please stop talking about that. And to have Gina look at Shannon and be like, I see you. I understand what you're going through. I accept your apology. And I also think you deserve the credit for doing the work. Like, all of that to me is really significant to watch. And it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out, because I also feel like Tamara is dangling this carrot of having sympathy for Shannon that she yanks away at any point she feels upset. And then she tells us, no, I'm still dangling that carrot there. I still care about her. It's because, you know, of all this stuff she did for me that I'm calling her a twat. But like, I still care about her. I'm still her friend. But also I'm telling her she's a terrible person. But that's just because she is. But she's not. You know, it's good to see that while Shannon and Tamara's shit is going to be bumpy and up and down for the rest of the season, I do feel like there are these moments where these women are genuinely supporting each other and it feels honest and it feels like progress. And to me, watching the Shan Gina of it all felt like progress. I was really happy to see it. Speaking of progress, or, you know, maybe not, New Jersey happened. I do just want to quickly acknowledge its existence, mazel tov to it. You know, I could totally see people being like, that was a solid episode. I want to enjoy TV. Like, I don't want to come on over here and be like, I hated it. Like, that's not fun for me. That's, I would much rather be like, wow, this episode was really meaningful to me and here's why. I know that people really enjoyed that sleepover. It felt to me just super, I get like they were having fun, but it just felt like they were having fun, capital F. Like, this is what fun looks like. And it to me is a little bit of like, we're playing house here a little bit, maybe playing housewives of like, you know, this is just going to be light and fun and no drama because we have been told it's going to be light and fun and no drama, or that's just what we want to deliver so that people know it's possible. And it just, to me, was like a little too sweet, where I'm like, okay, I get it. Like, you guys are having fun and I love that. And I also love seeing when someone spends a lot of money on these parties, because that was a lot of money. That was like dumb money that was spent, of like just all of these little knickknacks and, you know, themed things and the bartender. I love that, because I just can't imagine, like, that is so much money that's being spent on this stuff to film the scene. I appreciate that financial sacrifice for the purposes of like us watching a 5-minute edited take, because to me, I just want to see it. That's the escapism on Housewives. It's like, yeah, I'm going to invite over, you know, 8 of my friends and give them PJs to show up in, and then we're going to have like an 8-course meal or whatever. I want to see that, because it's almost nonsensical. And I mean that as the greatest possible compliment, of like, yeah, let's just have an excuse to have some sort of themed something that looks like it cost a certain amount of cash. I like that. That's actually one of my that might be one of my favorite things of watching just like ongoing franchises, is like having this thing happen, which, duh, of course, they're going to have events together and someone's got to foot the bill, literally, or seem like they are. I mean, yes, that's going to happen in every season. I don't want to say that like it was a total drag. I do appreciate that it happened. I just wasn't like delighting as a viewer in what I was actually watching. And, you know, what Fessler was saying about her frustration toward Rachel and their kind of like feuding with each other, the way she expressed it, I thought was pretty astute. She said something like, the toxicity in this group is contagious, and Rachel and I caught it. I was like, yes, that's exactly right. It's unfortunate that it seems like in real time they caught it and it's still contagious, because there was some sort of split. I mean, we saw them try to work things out, but they were obviously both emotional. And that doesn't, just because you're like, I see you, does not mean that you can really start over. Because how do you forget this like feud or fight or feeling that this person isn't to be trusted? That doesn't just go away, even and especially when you are taking responsibility for your role and the other person is too. Like, that doesn't remove this voice in your head that's probably saying something along the lines of like, this person isn't who you thought they were, or they have changed. That doesn't go away. And it seems like one or both of them have said that they haven't spoken in a number of months, I think since filming happened, I believe. I could be totally wrong. So I think, you know, while it was nice to have this little moment, I appreciated Fessler recognizing that the situation being so toxic, it was essentially only a matter of time before it would affect relationships that seemed pretty solid. And some of that has to do with maybe a responsibility that Fessler felt to film with Teresa and maybe to have those moments on camera. And Rachel was like, okay, you do you, but I don't like you doing you. And also, don't bring up my family. And it's just, this is the nature of the beast, is like, there's going to be an environment of toxicity. Can you guys trust each other to kind of figure it out and make it through? Or conversely, when you see moments where this person shows that they might not be the appropriate person to trust, they might not be deserving of that trust, should you just cut them out? Because it's like fully triage. I don't have an answer. I think it is interesting. And I also think, okay, I'm going to keep it like 1,000% real. I am very uncomfortable with what production and the storyline is attempting to do in showing the amount of stress Teresa is under because some quote unquote crazy lady is making Louis feel bad. I am very uncomfortable with any storyline involving Louis and questions of his character or his work or his income or his circle of friends or his interest in like manila folders and armed security guards showing up at reunions and the Bo Dietl of it all and other stuff. To see that Jim Leonard is going to be on an upcoming episode doesn't make a gal feel great, knowing what word on the street is about Jim Leonard's involvement in absolute bullshit, like text messages of him trying to figure out if Jessica Chastain saying something shitty about Teresa is related to Kate Chastain because they have the same last name. So maybe they're sisters or something, or maybe cousins, who can say. It just doesn't make me feel terrific because Louis is getting such a strong sympathy edit. And so much of that edit is based on a lack of information and knowledge. And it makes it tough to watch because there's no counter because nobody wants to mention his name. I don't know if this is Beetlejuice or Rumpelstiltskin. Like, I understand why people don't want to go near it. And a lot of that reason is because someone might hate him or whatever. But that doesn't help the fact that last season's reunion was super fucking dark. And now we're going into this new chapter. And I don't really know this man. I am uncomfortable when he's discussed. And I'm very uncomfortable when he's discussed with only a sympathy edit, with all of the focus being like some big bad ex doing him wrong and there being no counter to that. It just makes me feel uncomfortable. And the fact that, listen, Teresa's married to this man. She's going to support him. She has every right to defend him. But if this is her storyline, if he is her storyline, and also there's all this other shit going on, I don't feel great about it. It does not make me feel great about unpacking it. I am uncomfortable. I don't like it at all. I would rather focus on like talking about Teresa, understanding her behavior, potentially unpacking it, maybe not having, you know, a super supportive take or talking to people who do, or maybe I support her opinion or something, although that feels relatively unlikely when it comes to like the Jen Aiden stuff. It's just so dark and so bleak, and it's being repackaged as, you know, a fight for survival that just makes me feel gross. And what Dolo was saying about, like, you know, Teresa's really stressed out because he's being really emotional seemingly behind the scenes, which we never see on camera. If Dolo is saying that and you know she's being super judicious about what she says about Louis on camera, and my guess is also IRL, that just puts all of the like alarms up of what is actually going on. Because if Dolo is comfortable saying that and she's sort of not comfortable saying anything about him aside from, hey, how are you? Okay, bye. See you soon again. I don't quite know what to say there. I do just have to say, and then also the positioning of Marge in all of this, like, yes, if something is happening in his life and it's a legal case, I get it. It's going to be discussed. One could argue that if it wasn't discussed, there would be upset. And I understand that perspective. I just think this specific guy gives me the creeps, and I just don't love his energy being such a big part potentially of this season and of a Marge takedown. But also I get that if he's like, you know, fighting the situation with an ex in court and finds out that in some way Marge was in contact with this person and this person reached out to Marge, I understand why he would feel, Teresa would feel, whomever would feel like, I want to discuss this on camera, especially because it's dealing with a cast member who I'm in a war with. I understand it. And I get that there could be a lot of criticism if it wasn't mentioned. But I just don't love that, like, the fraction here, the overwhelming percentage to me feels like it's coming from Louis when it comes to, like, stress in Teresa's life. Maybe this man just has a really bad run of luck when it comes to women he has chosen to date, businesses he has started or worked on, relationships with maybe mutual friends he had with Teresa or ones he had on his own, all of these things not working out great. Maybe he just has really bad luck. Is that possible? Yes. Do I think it's likely? I don't. And it's unfortunate because I want to talk about like Teresa and Marge. I want to have different perspectives. I want to change my own mind. I want to normalize changing my mind based on new information. Like, you know, it's the what Gina said about Shannon, like normalize changing your mind based on new experiences that you've had ultimately is what she's saying. I'm open to that. I also feel sort of the way I felt last season, because I thought that that last season was going to be the last season with Teresa and Melissa on the show together. So I was more into watching the episodes because I thought we were leading up to something I wouldn't see again. And I was finding value in stuff that a lot of people understandably were blowing off and saying, like, this is not watchable. I just, to me, felt like, ooh, this is history taking place. I genuinely am finding value from some of this. And I also recognize that we're probably not going to be here again. So now, in real time, that we are here again, kind of, it's just really unfortunate to me that we're ending in this play, in this way where it's like not a bang, but a whimper. But also, who's whimpering? You know, like, it's really unfortunate. And I did a 2-hour, 2-part Patreon episode that's up now. Huge part of it is giving like all the behind the scenes and thoughts and feels about all things Shan, obviously, because we need to do a deep dive of the Shan episode, how it came to be, how I felt, because that was just a really meaningful moment in the journey of my life, and also Andy's Girls. And I do a lot of Satchels of Gold about Orange County, and I talk about stuff in the news, Sandoval v. Ariana, which he's tried to publicly and legally recant. We'll see what happens there. And some other nitty gritty Bravo news, obviously the Chef Penny lawsuit against Ariana. And I also talk about, you know, what the word on the street is about this filming that took place as a reunion alternative. And that, you know, allegedly there was no drama and the cast is really only talking and giving their reaction to the finale. And it really does give me that whimper energy of like, what are we even doing at this point? Because there's no counter because everybody's afraid of the consequences of that. And that doesn't leave a gal feeling inspired. So, you know, is there stuff to say about the episode? Yeah, I mean, I think the Jen-Teresa dynamic is interesting. I cannot believe that Jen is as surprised as she is that she would have to do the heavy lifting in her friendship with Teresa. I think that's sort of the cost of doing business here. Her saying, like, you know, sometimes you have to literally tell her what friendship means isn't a great indicator. I don't know that I would feel great about having to constantly translate the effort that I put in versus the lack of effort that I feel that I receive. Maybe it's not that Jen is surprised by it. Maybe it's just that the years are catching up with her now. And the irony of this being on plot, when you hear about stuff that's allegedly happened in real time involving Teresa and Jen, and the fact that Jen was essentially like sacrificed at the stake to represent everybody involved, is probably not great for Jen, but it is also a little bit of an LOL of like, yeah, babe, how'd you think this was going to turn out? I think a lot of people thought it would look something like this. So there's that. I mean, it's tough. I just felt kind of like, okay, is this it? Is that all there is? When I was watching the episode, and also for everything that Jackie said about, I can't believe that I didn't get a call from Melissa, someone I yelled at the last time we spoke, to offer me clothing to wear at her fashion show, to then have a bat mitzvah, which, I mean, all the Jews, you know, raise your hands, although maybe that's not a great idea of late, but I mean, we all know that bar and bat, b'nai mitzvah, that's not like a weekend activity. That's scheduled so fucking far in advance because you need to make sure every kid gets a weekend slot. So I was surprised that nobody knew it was happening until they saw it on her social, because that's one of those things where you know well in advance of it happening because you've usually received an invite. So did she never, I mean, has she really been on the outs with these people for so long that when they say, how are your kids doing? She's not saying, you know, so-and-so, I think it was her daughter whose bat mitzvah, like so-and-so child whose name I just forgot, apologies, is, you know, with her tutor studying her for bat mitzvah, which is a huge, huge, huge moment in any Jewish tween's life. It's a day in which you are essentially welcomed into the temple as an adult and also get, you know, these really incredible jewels that I treasure, also known as just light up rings while there's a DJ playing. And it's a big day. You get to wear a dress or outfit you may or may not hate. Mine was a long sleeve blue velvet dress with buttons. It was garish and terrifying. And but my mom liked it. So there we go. And it's really a day for your parent to feel like they're getting married again, but you're sort of getting married to the Torah. So I'm not quite sure how to really translate that. But it's a big day. So I was surprised that nobody knew it was happening. But also that kind of tells you about the state of their friendship and relationships. But also, then why are you surprised that you're not getting an outfit to wear to the fashion show? Like, the fact that you got invited feels like a big deal or a thing. I don't know. It was just kind of interesting. I just kind of thought, huh, that's a moment, because it is such a big deal. It just kind of tells you how far apart these people are versus how close they used to be. Is that terrible that I feel like I've talked about New Jersey for 3 seconds and Orange County for hours? That does kind of feel right, even though it's not great. But, you know, it was an okay episode. Also, spoiler alert, but I think that house that they keep hyping for this vacation burned down. So when it comes to having a spiritual retreat in the Berkshires, every possible sign is telling this season that it's a flop. But I think that house in the Berkshires there was a fire or something. Hopefully, I mean, knock on table, everybody's okay. That's most important, number one. I don't know why the show was able to find a quick Airbnb, but I don't know when the fire happened. It might have been like the day before they went to shoot and there just was not enough time. And maybe everybody involved was like, you know, we know this can't go on anymore. Like, we can't. So, you know, it's nice that they're all talking about being interested in filming with each other. I wish we could have carried that energy into the reunion alternative, like a meat substitute. I wish we could have had some sort of Morningstar Farms bacon situation. Just throw these women in a microwave for 2 minutes. I like my vegan bacon extra crisp, and just figure this out. But the finale, I guess, changed that. And there will be more to say about New Jersey. I actually feel bad that I have spent more time talking about me feeling bad from New Jersey than talking about New Jersey. But them's the breaks. And sometimes these things happen. And, you know, it's just going to get a little tough for Auntie Sarah over here when we get to this actual scene with Jim Leonard, future Bravo-holic, as soon as he figures out who Kate Chastain is and whether or not Jessica Chastain is running the interior on a yacht before or after getting an Oscar. So it's going to be maybe a little bit up and down, but there's still some shit to say. And also, yes, to all of the self-identified tree huggers, I'm working my little tail off to get some tree hugger representation, which has existed and on the pod, including this season. You know, it's tough because I think even those who vehemently support Teresa and have every right to, and there's, you know, interesting stuff to hear from that, regardless of how you feel, it's just tough because the Louis of it all has such an influence right now. And it just kind of brings down the energy in the room a little bit. And I also don't want to infantilize Teresa. I don't want to say that this woman doesn't deserve to be criticized. I don't want to treat her like someone who is less responsible for her behaviors and toxicity than anybody else. But I do also just see this guy here who I just personally don't love. He's not my energy. He's just not my vibe. But this episode definitely was. So thanks to all of you for listening. Let me know your thoughts and feels. I would love to do a little bit of a Satchel Spectacular on your current progress report for all things Franklin Lakes and also Orange County, and also some news about AG and Dubai that you might be listening to this week. So stay tuned to that. And in the meantime, join the Andy Scrolls Patreon. You can listen to that 2-hour, 2-part Satchel Spectacular up now at patreon.com/AndyScrolls with a lot of behind the scenes thoughts and feels about all things AG Deep Dive with Shan, Orange County, Satchels of Gold, your Satchels of Gold, your thoughts and feels, questions and concerns named in honor of Her Holiness Kelly Clorne Ben Simone from Scary Island, which I love to receive. Please include your first name and town and DM them to me over Instagram at Dame Galley. And also there are some fun videos up on my IG of some sassy little adventures with Shannon and Kristen Takeman that you can see now at Dame Galley. And thanks to all of you for listening. And what a weird way to start an episode by being like, it's a little final destination-y. But thanks so much for being a part of the journey. And again, it's been a wild week over at AGHQ here in the Clough. And I just want to thank everyone again for sending a lot of mazel tovs. I really, really appreciate it. Also, let me know what your theme was for your B'nai Mitzvah, your bar or bat. Mine was Broadway. Perhaps not surprising. And it was a joy. And there are still plastic cups that my dad had designed that are in the basement of my family home in Rhode Island. And I brought some back to New York. And I feel like that's probably not great to drink from. There's just something about that kind of plastic that doesn't make me feel great. But it's something fun to look at. And so there we are. That's all we want at the end of the day. Just something fun to look at. So thanks again for listening to this episode. And we will watch stuff that's hopefully fun to look at. God bless you, Orange County, soon enough. Thanks so much, and I will chat with you soon. Bye-bye.